was a great phone call. I remember the phone call with my dad, and he like tearing up, and he don't cry.
Right.
But it was all because, hey, 10 years old, I still got my Buster Browns on, man. I'm
Double B. You know,
so everybody just, so that's kind of what it was. It hit me then, but it didn't really smack me until I got out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I didn't have the opportunity to get back in.
Yeah.
It was when it really, really like, golly, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Not everybody gets to do this.
Welcome to Life on the Road, a coach's journey with your hosts.
I'm Alfonso Key.
And I'm Scott Bolwich.
This is a podcast by coaches for coaches.
So sit back and enjoy another outstanding episode of Life on the Road. Our guest today on Life on the Road is the head coach at Milan High School in Milan, Tennessee, Coach Jason James. Welcome to Life on the Road.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me, man. I look forward to it. We're going to have some fun.
No, you're busy, Coach. Thanks so much for your time.
Well, again, I appreciate you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little ball, man. Always fun.
You know, it's always good. And we always like to start with your coaching journey as to what made you get into coaching and then where was your first coaching job?
Man, that's a great question. You know, ever since I was probably about 10 years old, I wanted to coach basketball. When I'd come home from church and I'd be in my church clothes, man, and I'd go to the basement. And at the time, the only teams that would come on TV was like North Carolina would always come on CBS. And so I'd pick whoever Carolina was playing and I'd coach Carolina. And I'd be the coach, man. I'd be squatting down there in front of the TV.
That's awesome.
I'd have my church clothes on and I'd be jumping, calling timeout, timeout, timeout. And so ever since then, you know, a lot of people always wanted to play, but I always wanted to coach. My dad grew up around basketball. My dad actually in St. Louis, he played his freshman year, but when he got hurt his freshman year. So as a senior, he coached the freshman team at his high school.
Oh, in the blood.
Coaching through a city championship. And so he never had an opportunity to formally coach. He worked at AT&T for 30 years. And so we would always go to basketball games, and it was just kind of a joyous time. I got four brothers, three older and a younger brother. My second oldest brother, David, he always played. Okay. And so it was always like me, my dad, and David. We're going to watch basketball. And that's just what we did. It's what we did on Friday. So a lot of the good times that I remember – the good conversations, the joy I remember from a young age with my dad. And it just became kind of a joy between both of us. And as I got older, obviously I loved to play and wanted to go into coaching. And, you know, as a 10-year-old, all I ever wanted to do was be a Division I basketball coach. That's all I ever wanted. I wanted to do nothing else, man. Wow. I thought about coaching in the league. But I just wanted to be a Division I basketball coach. That was my goal. And so I went to Grayson University, played ball there. When I left there, I had an opportunity at 22 years old to be assistant coach at a community college, Forest Park Community College in St. Louis. Okay. A guy named Evan Peterson hired me, and Evan stayed a year. We signed all the players, and then he left. Said, I'm good. It was a part-time gig for him. So he went back to sell pharmaceuticals, man, and my dumb self stayed in it, try to figure it out. So I worked for the next guy, Preston Thomas. I worked for free, man. I taught middle school health and PE during the day. Left there about 3 o'clock, drove to Forest Park and stayed there till 11. You know, we were all coaches. So when you're the young guy, you don't want to leave early, man. You want to stay there and you want to tough it out. We just hang up. So it'd be 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I got to be up at 6 the next morning, man. I didn't care. I was just trying to learn. So I did that for 2 years. My brother was actually at UT Martin at the time. He was leaving. He ended up leaving and going to Central Arkansas. So they had a spot. They had moved their guys up. I went to UT Martin as a graduate assistant coach. Stayed there for 2 years as a GA. Got moved up. Spent 5 more years there as an assistant. And then got the head job there. Spent 5 years as a head coach there. And, you know, I always tell people at 10 years old, I wanted to be a Division I head coach. At 31, I did it.
Wow.
At the time, I was the second youngest coach in the country, man, me and Josh Bassman. So I did that for a few years. And contract wasn't renewed, had an opportunity to either go stay as a D1 dude or take a couple steps back and kind of see what I wanted to do. Man, I was fortunate enough to get the job at Blyville High School in Blyville, Arkansas.
Okay.
And that changed everything for me. You know, I went from wanting to be a D1 dude to wanting to be a dad. Now I'm home every night. I took my kids to the park every day. Stayed at Blyville for a year. Went to Germantown for 3 years. Left there looking for something different. Searching for home, you know, something that felt like home. Got to Kenwood in Clarksville, Kenwood High School. Stayed there 3 years. Still searching. And then I was able to, fortunate enough to take this job at Milan. You know, for months, this job came on the message board. And I'm like, nah, I'm not taking that job because I know the history.
Okay.
You know, Milan's 30 minutes from Martin, and they've never been good. So I'm like, no way. I'm not trying to get drug every night, man. No way. My wife talked me into it. And I just finished my second year, starting my third year here.
Wow.
So 24th year overall, but my third year here in Milan.
Wow,
man, you took us through the journey exponentially. That was tremendous. And I have some college coaching background. So one of my questions I like to ask, just that tremendous opportunity in college. Just give me two of the major adjustments you had to make from being a college Division I head coach to coaching high school young people.
So one of the big things is for me. Is that in college, as we know, man, there's a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You may show up at 8 o'clock in the morning and at 10 o'clock say, man, I'm going to get a haircut.
Yep.
You go get a haircut at 10, come back, do a couple workouts at noon. Man, we at the Pizza Hut buffet at noon, hanging out for an hour and a half. So leave there by 1:30.
Yeah.
You go get a workout in and then you got practice at 3. And so it's just a lot of freedom. You know, mm-hmm. when I get here about 6:45, 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm here till 3.
There ain't
no leaving, ain't no haircuts, ain't no pizza buffet. And so that was a big adjustment, just having to be locked in somewhere.
Yeah, and let me jump in real quick. You know, I'm coaching high school too. You know, I came from college coaching to high school. I never my whole 19-year career had a lunchtime. Like, I never had a block time. So I go from 2 to 4, you know, from 11 to 1. Or 12 to home, you know, here,
yes,
man, I got like 25 minutes. My first year, coach, I missed so many meals. By the time my lunch period started, I talk a little bit, relax. It's time to come back. I was hungry for at least the first month.
Yeah.
I had to prep my meals, what have you. So I definitely relate to you on that, coach. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yes. No,
that's exactly how it is. You know, the second thing I think is the biggest adjustment is you go from dealing with 18, 22, 23, 24-year-olds who are about mm-hmm. to be men. You know, I always say, as a college coach, we the last stop before they get out in the world. So if we miss an opportunity to teach them about finances or teach them about a relationship, then they're not going to get it
Mm-mm,
until they get
right.
out in the world. And so,
that's a good point.
You know, we dealing with men, whereas now you go from that to dealing with, man, I'm dealing with 14, 15,
Xbox.
16. Yeah. And so I struggle with that, man. I'm going to be 46 years old next week. Man, what I got in common with a 14-year-old little boy, man? Got a 12-year-old daughter, and it's hard enough for me to talk with her. And so that's an adjustment. It's a different kind of relationship.
You know, it is.
In high school, at 3 o'clock, we leave them, they done.
Yeah, yeah.
We go to the house. I won't see him again until the next day. College, man, you got study hall, you got workouts, man, you may have to go to the dorm because somebody need a ride somewhere, you know, so it's
question.
Just the level, you got to be so many different things in college.
You do.
You got to be dad, brother, uncle, best friend, whereas here in high school, you just got to be their coach for real, you know, and so that was a little bit of an adjustment for me as well.
And that's used for me, coach, because like I said, that bell ring, we done in high school. Yeah. In college, coach, that bell never rung. I'm talking about from I got patrol calling me at 1 a.m. Hey, man, your play's out here driving a little funny. I had social workers call me, hey, your play ain't paying child support, you know. So
right.
for me, it's been heaven. And there's something I never knew there was. Weekends. Yes. I didn't know what a weekend was.
Yeah, they didn't get it. Hey man, when I was a GA, in Martin, my job on Friday nights, you know, we play Thursday, Saturday.
Okay.
My job on Friday night was to go in the club, make sure them jokers aren't in there.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's Friday night. It's 1 o'clock. I'm supposed to head out. I'm in the club.
Yeah.
Like searching. Stall by stall.
I'm in the like, where y'all stall. At?
Yeah, where's everybody at? Where's everybody? You know, that's totally different from here.
Yeah.
I'll never get that call on Friday night. No, here,
that's mom and dad.
Yeah, it's mom and dad. That's exactly right. Exactly right.
So, Coach, I want to go back to the beginning because you and I are similar. Like, I want to say about that same age range, I knew I wanted to be a coach. Right. And I didn't know what level, but I knew I just wanted to be a coach.
Right.
You know, and you had it set in stone, like, I want to be a Division I coach. That's so right. Now you work your way through, and then you get hired at Martin to be the head coach there. What was right. going through your mind and your spirit as a man, like, this came to fruition?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, what was I thinking? Why do I want to do this? Like, what's going on right now? Like, hold on a second. But you know, to have it all go down the way it went down, you know, the way I got the job, you don't ever want to get a job that way. The guy ahead of me he got caught doing some stuff and
yeah.
they had to dismiss him. And so you don't ever want to get it that way.
Right.
But, you know, I was fortunate in that when he did get let go, he sat me down in his office and he's like, hey, you got to take it. I wasn't going to take it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to take it because he was my guy. You know, Brett Campbell was my guy and he still is. He was my dude. And so no I wasn't going to take it. And
but it wasn't your.
He came to me and said, hey, you got to take it. And so I got over that, man, it was kind of like a wow. I mean, it's a wow moment. You know, everybody's got those wow. You know, you get the job. I got the job on a Wednesday. On Thursday, we had team camp. So I show up to team camp a little bit earlier. You know, you walk through the gym with your head held a little bit more. You the guy.
No question.
And that's kind of how it was. But I didn't have my, like, holy cow moment until it was my first game we played Missouri. Second game we played Missouri.
Yeah.
And I grew up in St. Louis, so Missouri was always the school.
Yeah, Columbia.
And that's where it was like, dang, this is really happening. And, you know, what it's really helped me do is, like, I still talk to a lot of guys up there who are college guys. Mm-hmm. And they always ask me, you know, would you get back in right now? And I tell them the same thing, but what me and you just talked about. Hey, at 10, this is what I wanted to do. At 31, I did it. So if I never get that opportunity again, if I never coach college basketball again, if I never get an opportunity to be a Division I head coach again, I can say for 5 years, I did that. And so that's kind of where the reflection really, really happened is when I started talking to those guys. You know, it's still guys chasing it. They're still chasing that, man. It's still guys that we all three worked with. No question.
Yep.
They still like a chasing drug. That. It's like a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so at 31, I got to do that. And so I think that's where it really, like, it hit me then. And I was kind of, I don't want to say in shock, but just kind of like, wow, this is going down, right? Like, this is happening right now. And it was a great phone call. I remember the phone call with my dad and he like tearing up and he don't cry.
Right.
But it was all because, hey, 10 years old, I still got my Buster Browns on, man. I've
been double B. You know,
so everybody just, so that's kind of what it was. It hit me then, but it didn't really smack me until I got out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I didn't have the opportunity to get back in.
Yeah.
Is when it really, really, like, golly, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Not everybody gets to do this.
And I tell you what, Coach, just intervene. You know, we're both in high school. We've been in college. And I try to tell my young people, say, hey, man, 2.9% of high school athletes will play Division One, Two, or Three. It is damn near impossible. D1, 1%, D2. But we don't talk about, it's the same ratio for coaches.
Yeah.
Most assistant coaches will never be a college coach at any level. And then you talk about Division One, that's cream of the crop. So it's pretty humble that you appreciate it, because when you're on the grind, you get it. But you look back, being a college coach, being at any level is elite. But that window is so small for you to do that and appreciate that. And you got to sacrifice. And we sacrifice stuff I know we don't enjoy doing. Let's be real.
No doubt.
Like the kids say in my school, no cap. Your family sacrifices, man. Your time. Sometimes your health. Your focus. Because it's 100% on that grind. So it's awesome that you reached that. Appreciate it, and now you enjoy, like I said, weekends, man. Weekend.
I was never on blood pressure medicine ever. 12 years in Martin, never on blood pressure medicine. The day, the week I got the job, I went to the doctor. Man, I was having chest pain and back pain. He put me on blood pressure medicine. Hey, I was on blood pressure medicine 5 years. I got let go from Martin. Uh-huh. I got let go in March. I went to Bible. Went to the doctor. In May, hey, I need to refill my blood pressure medicine. They say, blood pressure medicine for what? You don't need it. 5 years of my life, I was on blood pressure medicine. That's the only 5 years. I ain't been on it since, man. It's crazy.
Medicine's doing something else. That's my dog with them.
It's crazy, man. I ain't been on it since.
It's amazing because medication always leads to more medication.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. 100%. I was shocked. They were like, you don't need it. I said, wow. And again, put it in perspective, like, dude, that's what I was going through. That's what we're going through, man. Yeah, people don't see that.
They don't.
That's what people don't see. They see the TV. They see, the rumping down, the suits, the press conferences. They see the gear at the shoot around. Man, they don't see the doctor's visits. They don't see the 1 a.m.
They don't
see none of that stuff.
Hey, Coach, I'm gonna tell you something funny. Now, I was like 34, my first head job, right? So I was like you. I was at grinding up D1, D2. I mean, I got everything right, and so I'm interviewing, right? You know, so I had all of the credentials, but they were saying young, early 30s, never been a head coach. So on my interview, I bought some glasses. I had my glasses. I was conservative. I did everything. I do like a player. So I was doing everything I could from optics to look older. I got the job. My hair looked good. Within the first month, I get all this gray. So I wanted the gray for the interview, but I didn't really want it for real. I have black hair, everything. The first 2 weeks on the job, I'm getting gray. Like, no, I don't want that. But I feel you on that, man. You know what I'm saying? That's like they kind of make it the analogy of the president. If you see a picture of me in my my press conference in year two.
Totally different.
Totally different.
No doubt.
Let's talk about that. You know, you move one seat over. Now you're the head coach. And what's that first game? You know, we talk about blood pressure. We talk about all this stuff. You know, what's that feeling like, that first game leading up to it? And then once the ball's tipped off, like, how was that feeling? And what was going through your mind during that first game? Because now, again, we've made it. You know, you're here.
Right.
You're no longer coaching in front of a TV.
No. You the guy. Brands. So we played, it was Carbondale, Chris Lowry, CeeLo. Mm-hmm. That was our first game.
Wow.
And, I remember leading up to that game, just trying to make sure I didn't do anything stupid. Like, that was one of the main things. Just trying to make sure, hey, man, one, don't do anything foolish. And then two, trying to make sure you got everything in a row. You know, as the assistant coach, you got your checklist.
Yep.
And you know what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a head coach, that's a little bit different because your checklist changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still trying to do stuff that I was doing as the assistant. And I got my assistant saying, hey, man, you don't need to do that anymore. Like, you're the head coach now. So, like, when we get off the bus, you don't have to get bags no more. You just walk in the gym. They're going to follow you in the gym. And so that was what that first game was leading up to it. You know, the biggest difference I felt like was, you know, as the assistant coach, we know everything.
Yeah.
Assistants know everything, man. Yep. Shoot. Timeout, coach. You need a timeout, coach. Yep. You need we got to sub him. He's in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We're running up and down the floor. Yes. We're running up and down the floor. Man, they score going about a 10-0 run or something. And I whisper to myself, man, we need a timeout. The referee says, timeout. Blue team. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, oh, snap. I call timeout. So that was the biggest difference. It's like knowing everything you're saying.
It's concrete.
Yeah, it's concrete. So we get in there, second media timeout. We circle. We got our stools. You know, we had the stools. And I thought, hey, we'll be big time. We're going to get these stools like everybody, man. They're going to be straight. But we're not going to get the, like, expensive stools.
Yeah.
We're going to get the cheap joints from Walmart, man.
Yeah, I got it.
Our budget ain't great.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get in them stools. We sit down. I got my five guys around there. I got my stool. Yeah. And one of my kids goes to sit down. And that joker collapses, man. It just folds up. Hey, right when his folded, I stood up. I am not going to be the guy. I'm not going to be the coach that folds his stool on this team. I'm not going to do so. I stood up and I told him, hey, no more stool for me. I'll kneel down. Rest of the game. Till we get the expensive stools, I ain't sitting in no stool. And that's it. Yeah, collapse, man. Right on. I felt terrible for that kid. I felt terrible for him, man. I felt awful for that kid, man. Hey, I stood up the rest of the game. Hey, timeout come. I kneel down. I'm on one knee.
Oh,
I'm not
my sure God.
What's happening to me. Ain't
people
no
have
way.
No idea all the ain't stuff no that's going nah. through your mind.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
And that was a home game?
No, it was at Carbondale, money game.
Good for you.
They had just got a new arena. We opened up the new arena.
Oh, man.
They did. They beat us pretty good. But it was, you know, Carbondale just made the tournament a couple years before.
Okay.
You get a chance to go play Carbondale. You know, it's kind of a big deal at that time. That's when they were right in the middle of their run. But that was a money game. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
That's that broken stool happened on the road. So ooh, I know their fans had a field day with that.
Oh, man.
Hey, nobody was laughing harder than my wife. She's sitting right behind the first row. She couldn't wait till after the game. Man, I was hoping you would have been on that. Yeah, I'm sure you were hoping I would have been on that. Everybody. But, yeah, that student section loved it. They loved it.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
I'll go.
So now we transfer from high school or from college to high school, right? And we talk about the – we've talked about the everything but the coaching. You know, how was the coaching adjustment going from you're now going head Division I coach to the high school level? What was that adjustment like for you on the basketball court?
So, you know, in college, we're used to these media timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big adjustment for me because you plan your substitutions. You plan even your timeouts around the medias.
Right.
And it never, going from Martin to Blabo, it never occurred to me they're not going to have media timeouts. You know, I never coached. I never even thought.
Didn't cross your mind. Yeah. Eight minutes. We got 20 and a half.
That's right. So we're playing 8-minute quarters. I'm thinking, hey, at under four,
yeah,
we're going to have a media. It's going to be good. So that under four gets, and I'm like, where's the timeout? You know, and my assistant, he was an older guy, and he was like, coach, they don't. Oh, man. You know, so that was a big adjustment. Just the media, the not having the media timeout. The no shot question. Clock was an adjustment. You know, again, we've all been through it.
Mm-hmm.
You run that shot clock down. You get that ball to your best guy. Say, hey, go make a play.
No question.
Well, when I first got the Bible, we were playing like there's a shot clock.
Yeah.
Because, again.
Condition.
I guess I had known there wasn't a shot clock, but we were still preparing like so in practice.
Yeah.
We'd run our stuff and then
hopefully we can get him back. Is it me?
It was really in Bible where I felt like I really became a basketball coach. I felt like, I was a coach in Martin, but, you know, man, again, full disclosure, you're in college, you think, hey, we're going to have all the good players.
No
they
question.
They're going to play really hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it ain't going to be what everybody, it's going to be easier than what everybody said.
And they're going to make layups too in college. Because high school, there ain't no guarantee, brother.
Hey, we 18 in one game we missed. We missed 18 layups in five in one game. But, you know, I'm not thinking anything but, hey, we got good players. Mm-hmm. Our players are better than their players. Mm-hmm. We don't give dude the ball. Well, in high school, it's not like that.
Yeah.
So you have to have a system. You know, it really took me – Bible, Arkansas gets a bad rap because the town is rough and crime rate high.
Right.
But, man, I always tell people, Bible will always hold a special place in my heart because it was in Bible that I figured out what type of dude I wanted to be. All right.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to play. We don't have the players. So this is how we're going to play. And that was a big adjustment, not having that one guy who you knew at any time to go get you a bucket.
No question.
Got to draw stuff up now. You know, it's different.
Yeah. And really, you know, coaching is so dynamic. And coaching, but you really grow through those areas. You know, like I said, I can relate, man. You know, just obviously get a chance to pick your groceries in college. But just when you have to really navigate and deal with, I guess, gaps every game. I mean, how do you make up for a length gap, a speed gap, a depth gap? It makes you coach. And then a learning gap, because young people at the high school level don't have the experiences. You're teaching where the elbow is, what a pin down is, what's a lock, lock and trail. You know, they have no idea. They're playing ISO ball all summer. So it really makes you, and I take pride in doing that. Okay, that's kept understand what a flat screen is to a drop. So, yeah, no question.
Yes, yes. No question. I think anybody that wants to coach in college now needs to spend at least 2 years coaching high school.
Yeah, and relationships too. Kids are different.
Yes.
No question.
Yep, no doubt about it.
No, that's a great point because, you know, as college coaches, sometimes, you know, you, I want to say you skip the steps, but you forget how to teach the basic things.
I think you're right. I think you skip it because whatever you need, you go get. Okay, I want a long point guard. I'm getting a six. I want an athletic four. You get that. I want a skill. But in high school, you have to teach the skill guy to be skilled. What have you. So I think you're 100% right.
Yes. No, I agree with that. You can go get it. You go shop for it, like you said. And if you sign one and he can't get it done,
get another.
You send him home.
Yep.
You take it back to the store. You get the one you want.
Got that receipt. Got that receipt. Yep.
Got it. Well, you can't do that here. So it's like, hey, we got one or two options. We either figure out what this kid's good at and adjust to that, or we just get drug every night.
Well, drug. I mean,
none of us are getting drug every night.
Not at all. That's no fun. No drug.
Yeah.
Drug.
So we make the adjustment.
No question.
Make the adjustment.
No, that is a great point.
Yeah.
You know, because we all as college coaches, you take for granted.
We do.
Yes.
And you would just assume guys know things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And until you go back to the high school level. And you're coaching these guys. You're like, man, like, you know, I got some work to do.
Yeah, man, that's not, you know. You know, if you say that in college and they don't know attack the elbow, they're dismissed. Hey, no you got to go home.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to do something else. You got to find another calling on that. No question. Yes.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah, because I went from college, went from Division I to working with Team CP3. So now I'm dealing with high-level high school kids where, you know, I don't have to teach certain things because they just get it.
Yeah.
Right. And it makes it easier. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I think we're all indirectly in education, and it's almost to the parallel of teaching a class of high achievers compared to teaching a class where kids have maybe disability learning. But a good teacher doesn't just teach the kids that are elite. They find a way to teach those low performing kids communication. And that's a good teacher. Same with coaching. You know, we all could coach elite players, but you know, can you, man, we are, we're not deep this year. We're not experienced in this area. How do I formulate a system that shows their best? And so I think we've all gone through that. And my first year in high school, I overcoached in practice. I was like, okay, we got to guard the ball. So we're going to isocize, blitz the middle, go under. And I did too much. And then we start the game. Them dudes are running ball screen right the whole season. So I had wasted all that time and growth of all these ball screen coverages. But bottom line is when you have to overachieve in your teaching, I think that makes you, I mean, struggle is the word we're trying to say, makes you better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just told my assistants this the other day, like, people call us basketball coaches, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But man, we're instructors. We're basketball instructors, and you have it's magnified in high school, especially when I got here to Milan, they hadn't won more than 8 games in a year in like 6, 7, 8 years.
Wow!
And so we're starting from the ground, just teaching the game, teaching how to play, what you're looking for on the floor. Here's what we're running. Here are your reads. Now, they don't know. I gave them a scout. The first day I gave him a scout, man, them dudes looked at me like he was Jap Italian. What is this, coach? What are we doing? You know, but then 15 games later, man, let me not have that scout ready on time. Hey, coach, where's the scout?
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's how they started to just – but it's just teaching. We're instructors, man.
Yes.
We don't have a classroom. We have a gym, but we're still teaching the game. It's magnified here at this level. It really is.
And I tell you, that's why I got my heart for coaches. I'm still doing it, but I love with y'all and what we do is and just going out trying to kill a quote. But I think Billy Graham talked about the influence of a head coach. You know, you have more impact on the kid in one day than most do in a lifetime. And that is so true. You're so many roles. They're getting married. Congratulations. Buying the first house. You know, I got a breakup with my girlfriend. I got my parents split. I mean, this is constant with that moving forward. But, Coach, your background is so dynamic. You know, we're getting close to our final two segments, Coach. Coach Bolways.
Yep. You want to introduce the first one?
The first one, I think you're more than qualified to answer this one again. So you have, again, your dream job, and that could be many things, many people, but your staff, ultimate coaching staff, okay? Who would you have in those roles? And we'd like to cover these four roles. Number one, who would be your offensive coordinator? Second coach, your defensive coordinator. Third, your recruiting coordinator. And fourth, your associate head coach who could kind of fill in the gap, whatever you need. You've been a Division I head coach. That's tremendous. But just, again, moving forward with us, you get your dream job, where it may be. Who are those guys? And we like to say before that, it's called no disrespect, no shade, ultimate coaching staff. What you got, Coach?
So are these guys that I've worked with or just I know or guys I've seen?
You've been in the business, whatever rapport you want. Someone you've seen from afar, someone you work with, someone you work with, regardless, it's on you. You have a plethora of a library to pull from.
Man, that's tough shade. Question.
It is. You know, it's supposed to be. Uncomfortable.
I'm a trust guy. So most of the guys – I've either worked with or I know somebody who knows somebody who trusts somebody. But we'll start with recruiting. My recruiting coordinator will be a guy named Cornelius Jackson. He's actually the associate head coach at Marshall right now.
West Virginia?
My associate. Yeah. Okay. Yep. He played at Marshall. He was actually my associate head coach in at UT Martin, man.
Okay.
Awesome with relationships. I mean, never had a bad day.
Wow.
Never met a stranger type dude.
Here's your guy.
Just awesome with relationships, awesome evaluating talent. I put him in charge of the recruiting and say, hey, go to work.
Okay.
From a defensive coordinator standpoint, it'd probably be Konzo Martin.
Okay.
I'd probably turn the D over to Konzo, and me and him could talk. I think me and him got the same ideas in terms of physicality on defense, being physical at the point of attack. I think he can develop a scheme for anything, you know, and I think with tape, I can help him with that. Offensive coordinator, that's tough, man. Offensive coordinator, man, there's been some guys, you know how those guys, you watch their tape, and you're like, man, I don't know how we going to guard that.
That's my press.
Man, it's been some guys. John Gross comes to mind. He ran some good stuff. Probably the guy that I would take, again, as a trust guy, was a guy I worked with in Martin named Trent Becker. Trent just had it figured out offensively. Just a guy who, man, it didn't matter what the defense was.
Had the answer.
He had the answer. He could figure it out. And then as associate head coach, I'd probably take Kevin Easley just because Kevin's not going to pull no punches. He's going to be honest with me. And if it's wrong, he'll say it's wrong. If it's right, he'll say it's right.
He stands for something.
I'd probably say him, but I'd probably throw a disclaimer in there in that I would try to lobby for another assistant head coach or a consultant.
And it just expanded the staff to two more. So
you're like, everybody, no one has done it yet. You're not the first.
Well, I would just go one more again. Deion Real. Deion's the head coach at Bartlett. He worked for me and Martin. And he's along those lines with Easley. It would be hard to have Kevin and not have Deion. And so one of them could be the associate head coach and one of them could be the special assistant to the head coach. But those guys got to be on staff. And the reason is because they're going to be honest, man. That's all I'm on. I'm on anybody I work for, or work with. I just want them to be straight up with me. You know, if we're going
to – real.
Yeah, if we come in office and I say, hey, we're going to run the flex – and they think it's stupid, I want them to say, hey, coach, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Just so we can talk about it.
Yeah. Right?
You know, because that's going to make me think, why is he saying that? You know, and then at the end of the meeting, we'll either agree to disagree or I'll say, you know, well, you're right, we'll change it. And so those guys are along those lines. That's who I would say.
Well, coach, that's an outstanding staff, ultimate staff, and you fall – so like everybody else, every head coach you've asked, they've never stayed within the boundaries. They had an assistant, an extra assistant, an A and B, a C and D. So, you fall right in line. Outstanding.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. Who you guys got? Who you guys got?
Oh, you flipped it on us. No, that is we have the authority. It's life on the road. Coach Keith, Coach Bowies. No, we may answer it later on. We have time to prepare.
you have to watch the first episode when we release ours.
Yep, we'll let you know then. All right, and we got a cliff note, so we're gonna cheat a little bit.
With that.
We got nine.
I'm good.
Yeah, so we got our final segment, which is as always my favorite. We call it Coaches Anonymous, not Coaches Anonymous like you need rehab, but Coaches Anonymous, as in a funny story from practice. Recruiting on a road somewhere along the line about an anonymous coach. If you don't want to say his name, just call him Coach. If we're past the statute of limitations and you want to release the name, you're more than welcome to. But Coach Jason James, let's hear your coach's anonymous story.
Oh, man. So Kevin may have told this story on here. I actually got two of them. I don't mind saying his name. That's two on Kevin. The first one, him and E-Man told this story. We're at Duke. J.J. Redick, Sheldon Williams, all those guys. Well, you know, our head coach at the time had an idea of like, hey, man, there's 9,000 in there, and it's loud.
Yeah.
And so let's hear we're gonna get a small whiteboard.
Okay.
And we're going to write our plays on the whiteboard. We're kind of thinking as assistants, like, I don't know, coach. That's tough. But okay, all right. So our quote, who's going to write them? I'm not going to write them. Well, we'll make Kevin write. He's GA. We'll make him write. Okay, cool. So I believe it's his first game, first Division I game. We're at Duke. And you know, they got J.J. Redick, again, Sheldon Williams. I mean, they're rolling. They're good. They're
yeah.
good. So, man, we get in the game and we're playing and we are on – we transition from offense to defense. When we get to defense, coach is telling his assistants, me and the other two guys, me and Kevin, another guy, hey, this is where we want to run the next time down. But we're on defense. So Kevin writes it out. And he puts it on the board. He stands up and he holds it up. But we're on defense. So nobody's paying attention to it. Nobody's looking at
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're just guarding people, whatever. So we get the ball. We go on offense. Kevin sits down. Hey, I did what I was supposed to do. And, man, coach looks at him and says, hey, you use some choice words. You need to stand up. You need to write that stuff. You need to write it down on the board. Okay, cool. So we come back down to defense, and he does it again. He stands up on defense. We go to offense. He sits down. And so you want to know the definition of somebody being hopping mad. Man, coach was hopping mad. He is hot. He's jumping up and down. He's foaming at the mouth. He's cussing. He's cussing me. Telling me, hey, you better get this son of a gun to hold this sign up. And so finally, I turned to Kevin. I said, hey, you got to hold this sign up, man. Like, you got to hold it up. So we go back down to defense. He sits down. We had a play called step out, and we had a play called overload. Well, so now you got the head coach saying, hey, run step out. We got the other coach saying, hey, run overload. So he's like writing them down. Writing them down, erasing, step out, erase, overload, erase. So we go back to offense, and he stands up and holds his board up. But there's nothing on it. It's blank. It's a blank board. So all the dudes are running down the middle of the floor. They're looking at the board like, huh, what is that? There's nothing on it. So he sits down, and, man, coach comes unglued. He takes his jacket. He's got his finger in my face. He got his finger in other coaches. He's yelling at Easley. You guys better get him right. I'm gonna fire all of you tonight. So we're on defense. We get the ball. We're going back to the other end. And Easley writes on. Kevin writes on the board. Again, we had a play called step out and overload.
Right.
He writes step over.
No.
Step over. He holds it up. And he held it up the whole shot clock. 35 seconds. He held it up. Nobody knew what play that thing was, man. He just
against Duke.
Yeah, against Duke. So finally he gets it right. He writes overload on it. He's standing up. And the next day in the paper, man, they got Kevin Easley standing on the front page with overload. The sign says overload, and it says overload indeed. You do Blue Devils use 34-12 run to beat the Skyhawks, man. It was quite confident.
Hopping mad. That's gonna be the name of the episode. Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, it was classic. So fast forward that year. One other one. Fast forward that year. We go to Illinois, and we're down like 10-0 in Illinois, 12-0 in Illinois, 15-0 in Illinois. Well, it gets to 20-0 at Illinois. Year after they went to the Final Four, and so I nudge Kevin. I said, "Hey, straighten your tie, man." He's like, "Huh? Whatever, don't pay attention. 22-0. I nudge him again. Hey, man, straighten your tie up. Straighten it up. He's like, what are you talking about? Whatever, man. So we get to playing. So it's 27-0. We make a free throw. Everybody in the Illini Arena stands up and cheers. And I turn to Kevin. I say, hey, straighten your tie. Make sure your tie is straight. And he says, why? Why do you keep telling me this? I said, hey, man, we're about to be on SportsCenter. You better make sure your tie is straight.
Sure for the wrong reason.
Not top 10. We made number four. Top 10. 27-1, man. 27-1. Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Drop the mic twice.
Yeah, those are the only ones I can tell. You know, as a college coach, a lot of them you can't tell, man.
We're going to have season two, all right? We're coming back, and we're going to have credentials to go to PG-13. We understand. Bleep it out. That was awesome.
That's great, because he did tell that story.
Yeah.
And it's always good to hear the other side, the other perspective of the same story. And hilarious.
Over.
Step over, man. Old,
I'm going to text him tonight.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was good.
Well, Coach, we greatly appreciate your time and taking a few minutes out of your night with us. I know things are busy this time of year, and we just, again, we greatly appreciate
you. Going in and out a little bit for me, Coach.
Oh, there we go. I got bad weather. I got bad weather down here, so
we found a way, though.
We can always edit this stuff out. But, yeah. Coach, we greatly appreciate your time. You know, we enjoy the stories, you know, coming to find out that you and I are similar with wanting to be coaches at such an early age.
Right.
You know, it's great to see, and, you know, to see your road, you know, meet those goals that you had at such an early age. So, again, we greatly appreciate it. And Coach Key, any final words?
Well, Coach, you're in a great place at the right time. You got so much to offer those young people. Number one, speaking what you believe in and staying locked in. For you to say at 10 years old, your goal to get it is tremendous, and I hope they understand what they have there. I mean, you have so much to offer. Division One coaching, assistant coaching, the whole nine. And I'm excited. Like I said, I love coaches. I love the sport, and people like yourself in coaching are impacting lives daily. So thank you for what you do. I look forward to maybe coming down there. And again, I wear large, he wears XL, and I'll text you my address, brother. Appreciate you.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys, man. You guys are doing a good thing, giving people a platform to just talk about ball. You know, it's not a lot of times coaches get a chance to just talk about ball. As a coach, you always feel like you got to be on all the time.
Right.
This gives an opportunity to not have to be on, let your hair down a little bit.
No question.
Just talk a little ball. So I enjoyed it, man. I just appreciate the opportunity and look forward to hopefully doing it again sometime, man. Just talking a little ball, hanging out.
Love to.
Spend time with good people, man. That's important. That's important. So I appreciate you guys more than you know, man. It means a lot. It means a lot to me to just be able to spend this time with you, talk a little basketball, have a little fun with you too, man. I really do appreciate it.
That's the best part, and I think this is one of the great things we do. We get a chance to reminisce.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep,
and just to go back and think back to all the stories coming up through your coaching career and enjoying everybody's coaching stories and their journey is always a great thing.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know, you get stories keep coming to mind. You start telling one and here comes another one. I'll be thinking about them all night, man. Just the fun stuff.
That's why we have part two.
Part two was coming.
Yeah, and the relationships.
No question.
That's what life's about now.
Yeah,
right.
As we get older, it's about the relationship. It's great to do it, but you want to do it with people that you care about.
No question.
No doubt.
And as unique as all the stories are, there's always a commonality of all the coaching stories. So we're from different platforms, parts of the country, different ways of getting there. But as coaches speak, I can relate to that story as well as
coaching. Yeah. Yeah. We've heard them all.
Yeah.
Just in different ways.
Yeah.
We've heard versions of them all.
No question. And I guess civilian world have no idea. They just walk out there at Duke and sit there. They have no idea all of the background platforms that we jumped the hoops to get there.
No doubt. They just see the end result. They don't see all the work and
sacrifice, volunteer, making $100 million effort, but zero money, but doing all the things that everyone else does and jumping blindly, sacrificing, don't care about the level. You just get coaching. My first job, I was excited to have a Converse polo. I thought I was on top of the world.
Oh, that's it. Hey, at Forest Park, I got them Iversons, man. The answers. You couldn't tell me nothing, man. I got a pre-pair Reeboks. I wore those jokers everywhere, man. Impacting lives, man.
No question. No question.
Impacting lives. That's what it's about.
Coach, we appreciate you and look forward to seeing you have a great year, not just on the court, but impacting young people.
Man, I appreciate you guys, man. Look forward to talking to you again soon sometime. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Another great episode of Life on the Road. This time we had the head coach of Milan High School, Coach Jason James. And amazing how he wanted to be a head coach so early in his mind. I'm going to be a Division I coach, and it finally came to fruition for him. And Coach Key, any final words?
Well, excited to have his experience as an early Division I head coach, getting his dream, but now being impactful in the high school elements. I'm excited to see him, his impact moving forward.
All right. Well, until next time.
I'm Alfonso Key.
And I'm Scott Bolwidge.
Keep it on the road.
And keep it between the lines. We want to thank you for your continued support of the Life on the Road podcast. Please comment on each episode and give us that 5-star rating wherever you get your podcast. And make sure you hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch all the episodes on our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Coach AKSB. Thanks again to all of our guests and listeners. This wouldn't be possible without you.